T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The 1 to 2 hour is brought to you by the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Room at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
About an hour and a half ago, they announced Brock Osweiler would be the starter. Now, before you freak out and say Osweiler can't win, his first start with the Denver Broncos was against the Bears. His first start with the Texans was against the Bears. Both ended up in victories.
Play action fake, back to throw. Flips it, end zone, touchdown, Nick O'Leary.
Welcome to the Miami Dolphins, Nick O'Leary. Wow, what a start to the game he's had. Second catch, and that one's for a touchdown.
Osweiler shotgun. Drips to the right. Back to throw. Blitz coming. They get it off. And they've got the hit to Albert Wilson. It breaks the tackle. There, 25. He's gone. Touchdown, Miami.
All right.
Albert Wilson, what a play. Read the blitz perfectly. Got the ball out to his playmaker. He did the rest. Wow, can he run?
All right, all right.
Back to throw. Plenty of time. Throws over to Albert Wilson. Wilson touching upfield. Breaks a tackle. 40. Makes a cut. He's at midfield. He may go at the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Miami.
Unbelievable. Oh, what a play.
Oh no.
Albert Wilson takes a short pass. Takes it to the house.
Speed kills.
A career high. 3 touchdowns. And here is Jason Sanders, 47 yards. The kick is up. The kick is good.
He hit it. He hit the kick.
No. Oh, no.
Jason Sanders has won the game for the Miami Dolphins.
No flags.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Go figure, man. Go figure this league out for me.
You
figure, this league out for me, and you're not Bill Belichick, and then call me back.
Can't.
I'm going to make an attempt.
No. Nay.
You. I mean, we were sitting here mocking Brock Osweiler all offseason. Mocking him.
And we will continue. Here's where the Dolphins are. There's probably 5 or 6 teams that are really good. Right? There's 5 or 6 teams that are really bad. And the other 20 or so teams are right there in the middle. And those are the 20 teams that year after year after year switch who's going to the playoffs or what have. And so when you look at the Bears, when you look at Carolina, when you look at Tennessee, when you look at, you know, a lot of these teams that, okay, they're in the mix, but they don't always go to playoffs. The Dolphins are somewhere in that mix.
Yeah, I'm going no sale on that. I think we just saw the first case of NFL South Beach flu, because where the hell was Khalil Mack?
Well, he injured his ankle.
Where was
he? He had a bye week.
Listen to me.
Why can't the Dolphins get credit for blocking him?
Yes. I need to do
that.
0 sacks.
Did you see? He went into the injury tent. He came out with a cast on his ankle.
Not the Dolphins' problem. Tough noogie.
No, but don't say, where was Khalil Mack? He was on one leg.
What did he have? One of those wet willy slushies in his cast?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. When we come in here on Monday morning and we blast the Dolphins for looking like crap, okay, regardless of how many injuries they have, do we give them a pass?
No.
Then why the hell are you giving the other team a pass?
You're making fun of Sam Young all week.
Who cares that he got banged up? That's tough.
How about Sam Young getting cut on a Saturday?
Yeah, that's cold. That sucks.
That's cold.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't just not bring him back.
They really just had to wait till Laramie passed, huh?
True or false? Adam Gase was in a better mood yesterday morning when he knew that Brock Osweiler was going to start. He does love
former Broncos and Bears.
He loves his Aussie.
That was like his favorite category on Pornhub. Bronco and Bear all together? What?
Would you like
favorite
to
story on Pornhub?
Would you like to hear what my take from
No,
the
let's
game?
Get to the headlines.
No, first I need to actually give away $1,000, then we can get to the headlines. So today's code word for the 1 o'clock hour is
radio.
Radio.
Yep. Well, I wasn't really putting any guesswork there. It was
radio.
Just radio.
Now
don't say it like Beast with four R's. One R. Radio. Text that to 72881.
What are you doing there? Radio.
It's our thing. Our thing is like we always have a wacky thing for the code word.
Is that our thing?
Yeah, it's our thing. I mean, until Hawkman and Crowder stole it.
You think Falero's going to take that drop and play it at
two? Yeah.
Radio.
Hey, send that to Eric Falero. Let him know he can use that. Anyway, let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com station.
Do you at the one point when Brock Osweiler just like, didn't he celebrate a touchdown literally just shrugging his shoulders like Jordan?
Yeah, because he threw a 2-yard pass and it went 75 yards.
So this Adam Gase does not like talking about Ryan Tannehill. Let's hear the evidence.
I don't know. I think there's some kind of like HIPAA law or something like that. They can't talk about. I don't know. I don't sit there and ask him all these questions. And I just know the guy couldn't go today. All right. Go ask him. I'm tired of answering this question about this guy. I got it. But you know what? I'm over it. Me and him, we know that he's not right now. Okay. The details of it, we'll keep that to us. You guys don't need to know that.
This guy.
He is a salty dog, man.
He hates Tannehill right now.
When you refer to your supposedly starting
franchise guy.
Yeah. This guy.
He is so salty.
Yeah, there's trouble in paradise.
And I'm sure Frito will get us a sound momentarily because he was just at Gase's presser where, again, he refused to, like, he went off again on the whole Tannehill thing.
He did again?
He got salty again.
Jeez.
About not answering questions about Tannehill.
Let me know when we have that queued up, Robbie.
Here's the problem. Once you get salty about it, you know you're going to get pounded with questions every press.
Yeah. Other health situations. Devontae Parker is still coming back from the quad injury. Gase says his playtime was not a reflection of his ability.
Sure. I heard a little bit of that press conference coming in, and he's like, Devontae was something, one of those nagging injuries. I'm like, that should just be his nickname.
Charles Harris hurt his calf last week in practice. He's up in the air for this week, doubtful. Cam Wake suddenly had arthroscopic knee surgery, but Adam Gase would not admit that he did, even though everyone reported that he did. And we're not sure if he's going to be ready for this week. So the Dolphins are still really nicked up, and we should get the sound in soon.
Here it is. Robbie has him being salty as hell about Tannehill today.
Day to day. I don't know. Nothing's changed. We're going to have to wait a couple days, see if he feels any better heading into Wednesday, Thursday. It's just such an unusual situation because last week we started the week. He was sore, but then it got worse as the week went on. That's kind of why we found ourselves in a position that we weren't really thinking we were going to be in.
Day to day.
Oversold.
I was just reading the tweet, so there's not way really to know how it sounds.
Tweet from who?
Beasley.
Oh, okay. I thought.
You trust Adam Beasley?
I do. Well, there's more cuts.
There's more?
This was him being asked if Ryan Tannehill's injury was a long-term injury.
I'm not sure. I really don't know. I don't know the answer. I mean, it's day to day, and it's really going to be about how he feels. You know, we can be told by the doctors, trainers, hey, this is what we think is going to happen, but he's been one of those guys that's been opposite of what you're being told of. He can say, I'm good or I'm not good. So this was the first time where we were being told one thing as far as, hey, this is kind of unusual that he's going the other way, and then him actually agreeing that he didn't feel right. Normally, he'll try to go opposite of what they tell him.
I mean, whatever.
Talk about word confetti.
Yeah. I mean, that was Mark Richt 101 right there. Just talk until somebody stops asking questions.
Mark Richt on the Joe Rose Show this morning, talking about the play calling.
Oh, yeah?
You make sure you're calling the right things. And again, offensive football is about 11 guys doing it right, you know. And so if all 11 guys are doing it right, and then I would say, you know, maybe we got some issues with the play calling. But if we're not getting everybody doing it right, then maybe we're not doing a good enough job of, getting these guys to do what they're supposed to do. And when you have missed assignments, you know, it's either too hard,
who we backing that
you have too much, or the guy, you know, is or the player himself can't get it, you know. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, when you reevaluate what happens in the game and you've got missed assignments and you're not fundamentally, you know, taking care of business down after down, and it's usually one or two guys, you know. It's one guy here, one guy there.
Like your quarterback.
Well, that doesn't help you. All 11 got to do it right. When they do it right, then you have success. And when they one or two guys don't, you know, then a play will have a chance of not succeeding.
Oh, really?
But that's, you know, I'm not pointing the fingers at the players. That's coaching.
We're talking about 360.
To the way it needs to be done. You know, that's
you only got 10 fingers. Who are you going to point at? The 11 guys.
He started out with, nice. Hey, if the players don't do it right, then, you know, that's a problem.
This. Nice.
Coming back around to I'm not pointing fingers at the players.
That was a Torrey Hunter-esque bringing it back into the ballpark.
Let me break this down for you. Basically, what he said is this. Now, I'm calling the right plays. These guys aren't executing. And that question could have been answered in about a minute if you would just put that out there. Instead of saying, hey, if everybody's executing, it ain't the play calling.
By the way, they don't have a quarterback on the roster.
Let's do that now. You guys want to bitch about Mike Rick
bitch
next,
about
or do you want to celebrate the Dolphins? What do you
celebrate
want to
celebrate the Dolphins?
When do I get to bitch about Mark Richt?
The segment after. I mean, I'm not gonna not let you do it. But we'll celebrate a Dolphins win.
So next. We'll be happy first.
Be happy first, and then we'll work our way into.
I need myself some feel good.
Yeah, we'll be happy about the Dolphins.
We're going to get into an argument, though.
That was an awesome win.
Because I think Brock Osweiler should be the quarterback the rest of the season.
Fine. Adam Gase probably agrees with you. We can get to that. But before that, we'll celebrate the Dolphins win before we decide that Tannehill's career is over. And then we'll pounce on Mark Richt like a puma. All right? Next. Brock Osweiler's theme song. For those about to Brock.
Did you already redo it?
We'll see.
Yes, he did.
You never know.
Oh, I know.
You never know. You don't know what I did. You don't know where I'm
Well, I know you were here. You didn't go to the gym. You were here.
I did go to the gym.
You were here like at 11:30.
What's up with you in the flip-flops?
They're really comfortable. I got these new flip-flops, and I don't.
He wears them everywhere.
I don't like wearing anything else now. It's over. So that's your answer.
I wish I had the feet that could do that.
You know what I've decided? It's because in South Florida, why don't I dress like I live here?
That's what I do.
I got nobody to impress here.
I mean, normally
you don't work on the beach.
I used to dress nights. I didn't get my third hour.
Yeah.
So I'm going to dress like a bum. I'm going to be like Office Space.
You're protesting because you didn't get the third hour by dressing like a bum.
I'm protesting. I'm just like, what am I doing? What am I dressing like it matters? Working radio.
I'm going to dress like a tank top. See what happens.
Good use of the Yiddish.
Hey, what,
are we still listening to this? Or?
What are we doing for, Halloween?
What do you mean?
What does that mean?
We need to make a very large spectacle.
What does that mean?
When is Halloween? Is Halloween a Tuesday? Let's see.
We make a spectacle every day.
I believe it is on a Tuesday.
Maybe
a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
No. First of all,
what does that mean?
I want Robbie.
We're not dressing up.
Why not?
That's stupid.
I'll dress up.
Yeah.
As a sea captain.
No, you can't already use.
Brock.
I didn't realize the lead up was so bad to that, Robbie. It took forever.
I mean, it did. I had to pull it out in the last minute.
That's what she said.
So, here, let me tell you what my subtle evaluation was this weekend.
No, let's just start with the good in the Dolphins game. Let's just start there. Let's just be happy.
I think that's what he meant.
No, it sounded like he was about to have something negative.
No,
Dolphins
it's not,
first.
It's not anything negative.
Yeah, Dolphins first, but then Canes.
Here's what it is.
Okay.
Contrary to popular belief,
mm-hmm.
They ran the same plays. They didn't do anything any different. I think at times, Brock, because he can't run, is willing to throw that ball a lot quicker. Whereas Ryan, because he can scramble a little bit, will hold it. Not saying that's the reasons why they were so different. Because, again, after the first 3 weeks and then the Dolphins got pounded, what did everybody say? Oh, if you take out the two big dink plays to the wide receivers, Tannehill's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all Brock did for a whole game.
I agree.
So that's just their offense. That being said, it almost seems like you could put anybody there to throw those little three-yard passes.
Like eventually Albert Wilson's going to break some off like every three games.
But I'm just saying, the way they have the weapons set up around this offense,
mm-hmm.
it almost seems like the sole goal of whoever's playing quarterback is to get that little pass out there and watch them do magic.
Well, he should know the offense. Like, you know, they made a point of this in the broadcast many a times. Like, Gase basically drafted the guy. So he's had him since Denver. So if anybody's going to know the offense,
right,
he's going to know it.
Right.
So, look, I mean, yeah.
I don't think, from
my standpoint, all you should do is just be, if you're a Dolphin fan, just be very happy. You got yourself a real onions win, a game where you were banged up. You lost your quarterback going into. On Saturday, I guess, is when they knew that he probably wasn't going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going up against a vaunted defense that had just blistered everybody in the league. You have the most terrifying player on defense in the league. And you owned him. You owned him on defense. And you had a real gutsy win. You know, it was a perfect game by Osweiler. Like, look, there were turnovers that cost the team that put him in a bad spot. But they came back. And that should be applauded.
Right.
They were in a really, really bad spot. And they showed a lot of guts. They seemed to take advantage of that home field. It looked like the Bears wore down a little bit in that heat.
They won a game where not many people thought that they would win.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, now it's a matter of trying to get healthy and try to get on some type of run. It doesn't transfer from week to week. You know, the success you had last week doesn't mean you're going to have that success the following week.
Yeah, I think there could be something to the fact, too, with Tannehill being out. I think we see this sometimes in the NBA. You lose a star guy, but yet a lot of other guys step up because
like
they get
John
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit like John Wall being out. Or just like there's just something of, you know, that you're going to be relied upon a little bit more. So you got a little bit more pep in your step. Like you're a little bit more on your P's and Q's because you know that you're down a little bit. I do think that, I don't think it can last. But right. I think for a week, I think it can heighten you a little bit.
Right.
And we got some of that.
And to be honest, the Bears probably should have won this game in regulation. The Bears out-mistaked the Dolphins. And we talked about how the Dolphins gave away the Cincinnati game. This may be one that evened out the Cincinnati game that they got gifted from the Bears.
Yeah, probably. There was some weird stuff in there. Like you had...
Stop playing with your pen.
No. You had the weird batted play that Kenny Stills ended up catching. And then look, I mean, Frank Gore, 100 yards rushing. He's 35 years old. That's crazy. I mean, first of all, he's a legend. I wanted him to get that.
He's such a tough runner.
I wanted him to get that touchdown so bad.
Oh yeah,
so bad.
But he was.
It would have been the Frank Gore game for life.
He had to have been hurt.
No, he was. He was hurt. I think they took him to the tent momentarily, and then he couldn't go. That's why
hurt. He was 35.
No. They took him into the tent
because he's old.
Hey, let me tell you. As I got further on in my career, it's like I carried the ball like 3 or 4 times in a row. What's wrong?
And then Kenyon Drake fumbled on the goal line.
I don't know. I'm old. Oh! In all my years of playing football, I did it one time.
And how did that make you feel?
And I did it the worst way. It was against Dallas. And I caught a screen pass and went inside and went and got to like the 2 yard line and went to like lift the ball. And Charles Haley batted it from behind it, went out the back of the end zone.
Oh, that's terrible.
Did you lose the game?
No, we won.
Oh, see, that's the Kenyon Drake from yesterday.
Right. What did you do? Did you go like head under the towel?
Yeah, did you put the head under the towel? Because that's what Kenyon Drake did.
No, I like.
Have you ever done that?
Man, look, I've always played football like. Just play all out. You're going to make some mistakes. Don't attack anybody else because you make a lot of mistakes too. And just play on it. Maybe your teammates will understand. And they're like, you know, guys didn't get on me too much. You know, but again,
nobody feels
worse than the guy.
He was crushed.
He fumbled on the 1 foot line.
Yeah, I did. I felt horrible for him, especially with the fact that
could have been a game over.
Well, because it was set up by Frank. Like they kept going to Frank and they're like, all right, Frank can't go anymore.
You got to get in there this touchdown.
1 yard. You just had a guy who's basically, he's basically taking the majority of the carries from you.
Yeah, Frank Gore is the starting, is your number one back.
Right, and this wasn't the plan. The plan was for you to be the guy.
Right.
After you had that great ending to last year. And so you're like, all right, just get this win touchdown. It's 1 yard. Just 1 yard. Just 1 yard, KD. Fumble. Terrible. It felt terrible for him.
NunezLaw.com text line. Someone is snapping something.
What?
It's him doing the pin.
Yeah, I know.
Here you go.
I don't know what to talk
Leroy,
about.
You're honestly defending Tannehill.
Now you're
even
becoming me.
Terrible. Brock Osweiler is better than him. Give it up, man. Your guy sucks. Oh, really, Leroy? I've been here saying for years that you can put anybody there to run the offense. It's not. Not exactly what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is like the offense that they're running is probably the same offense that we've been complaining about for the last 4 years.
But it takes on a
short, quick passes, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
It takes on a different look when you have a different guy running it.
Sure. You know why? Because
Brock Osweiler's not going to go run.
He's not going to run, and the ball's out every time quick.
Yeah, but are the Dolphin fans that really taught, like, we're going to do the Matt Moore thing?
No.
Is that what we're going to do?
You? I'm surprised you're not on that bandwagon.
Let me ask you a question.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you. You love you some Matt Moore.
Yeah, but I don't love me some Brock Osweiler.
Let me ask you a question. You're Adam Gase, and we just heard him refer to Ryan Tannehill as this guy or that guy or whatever guy. You don't think he's going to be like, yeah, Ryan, you know, take an extra week.
I do think there's part of Adam Gase that has fallen a little bit out of love with Ryan Tannehill. You can just tell by the way he's answered in his post-game press conferences, talking about wide receivers were open all day. It's been slowly eroding.
He hasn't been this hard on DeVante Parker.
No.
No.
But that's his guy. He hasn't stood on the table for DeVante Parker. This is his guy.
No, DeVante Parker gets excuse after excuse after excuse.
Yeah, he loves his quarterback. Look, how long ago does it seem like we are from Ryan Tannehill's Jay-Z hype video? Because it feels like 4 years. It feels like four years since that hype video came out.
Sometimes the irritation and the aggravation of not knowing what's going on with your player is the part that's frustrating and not exactly the player. You understand what I'm saying?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because I've never been inside an NFL situation. I've only been through the college situation. Is there any chance Gase doesn't know exactly what's wrong with Ryan Tannehill?
Yes. And
there is?
Yes.
He's not getting an update?
Because let me explain something to you. And here's my only complaint about how they do injuries in football. Say if you get hurt during the game.
Right.
You'll set up an appointment to go see the doctor on Monday or Tuesday if you need to get an MRI, or they may do it as soon as you get back or whatever.
Right.
Then on Monday, the doctor and the coaches and the training staff have a meeting about your injury without you being there.
Correct.
So they've already had a conversation about your injury that didn't involve you.
No. But what I'm asking is so Gase implies, like, I don't really know what's going on with him. As if no one told him.
Because
out of the blue.
If he went and talked to the training staff, if he went and talked to the doctor, and they told him or gave him an idea of what was going on, right? And he kind of got in his mind, okay, we're probably going to hold him out of practice, but he'll be okay on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday, Ryan comes in and say, I can't go. Then all of the information that he got is wrong. But the reason why it's wrong is because it didn't involve the player in the first place.
I just don't think he has time to stick around worrying about Tannehill.
Oh, no. The coaches always get updates from about all injuries. Mm-hmm. The problem is, in most cases, it never comes from the player.
I understand. I'm just saying, like, for him to be so dismissive of Tannehill being in there, I think it's just a fact of, like, we know how tunnel vision these guys are. Like, the way Belichick talks about it, they're psychotic.
Right.
So it's almost like Tannehill can't exist. Like, once he gets back to the film and once he gets back into the facilities and Tannehill says, I'm good to go this week, coach. Okay, then we'll talk about we'll refer to Tannehill by name. Until then, he's that guy.
Right. Well, I mean, you know who was notorious for that? Is Parcells.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't even acknowledge you as a football player.
Remember when he called Terry Glenn she?
Yeah, he wouldn't even acknowledge you
bastard.
As a player. He wouldn't acknowledge you as a player if you...
Basically ousted Jason Taylor because Jason Taylor went on Dancing with the Stars.
Correct.
Yeah.
He's a real bastard, that Parcells.
And if Scott... Wait, and here's what's amazing about this, and here's what I try to avoid in life in general. If Scott Norwood makes a kick, do we view Parcells differently?
Yes.
Because he only has the same amount of Super Bowls as Brian Billick, as Tony Dungy, as, you know, Pete Carroll. You see what I'm saying? Because one missed kick. It's weird to be two different extremes based on one missed kick.
It's just a weird thing. I found it funnier that they did like a 30 for 30 where it was Bill and Bill, like Parcells and Belichick. And I get that Belichick came from that tree, but he's so much of a better coach than Bill Parcells. Like, I don't even think Bill Parcells, like he wore a ski mask the last 15 years of his career.
You ready for this? Parcells never won a Super Bowl without Belichick.
Correct.
And Parcells screwed over the Giants he resigned like 5 months after Belichick took the Browns job. Had he resigned immediately, Belichick would have inherited Parcells' job. And he might still be coaching the Giants today. Who knows?
All right. Let's get into this.
Not without Brady.
Let's get into this Canes loss. Mark Richt was being... I don't like what's going on, quite frankly. I don't like what's going on with the quarterbacks. I don't like I don't like these old feelings that he seems to be harboring from his playing days. I don't like it. So we'll get into the Canes loss next. Man. Depressing Saturday night for the Hurricanes. Losing to Virginia. Another road stinker. Just nothing doing. And then, to top it all off, Mark Richt pulls the plug on the Nkosi Perry era.
No.
In like four drives.
Wait. You would have stuck with him?
Yes.
I would
100%,
not have.
100%.
Why?
All these fans are like, oh, just go with the young guy. I'm not with that.
Why? I can't say this enough.
Here's why.
His job is to win football games.
Correct. Well, he didn't.
Good
plan.
But you think Nkosi Perry would have gave him a better chance?
I just saw him do it the week beforehand.
Wait, stop. Stop for 1 second. So every Hurricane fan believes that you've now ruined Nkosi Perry's confidence because you took him out of the game.
Broke him.
And you should have stuck with him.
Okay.
I don't, like, to be honest with you, and this is going to be, this is the actual hard truth. They don't have a quarterback.
Do they not? Really?
They do not have a quarterback.
I personally think that the reason why he hasn't played to this point is because either his preparation isn't good enough.
Okay. The word on the street is he does not practice well.
Who's the word on the street from? These coaches who think that they're going to get some quarterback unicorn? Let me ask you something. If you have 19-year-olds and 18-year-olds walking into your program and they don't have perfection, do you just cast them off? Or is your job, because you make $4 million a year, to coach them?
Yeah.
Because you recruited them as... No. You recruited them as children to come play football for you. And if they aren't perfect in every way, aren't you supposed to coach that out of them?
Quick question. attack players like they're not 18 or 19. So why, if everybody else is doing... Look, man, his job is to win games.
Well, he didn't.
It wasn't all because of the quarterback.
Listen,
completely are not talking about Tito Odenigbo giving a 15-yard penalty.
They're
about to get the ball back with 2.5 minutes left.
Yes, Tito Odenigbo, that was stupid. The other play,
roughing the kicker right after
that. That was stupid. The onside kick was freaking stupid.
It was a right call, but terrible execution.
No, it was a bad call. You don't onside kick there with 3+ minutes left.
You're kicking off from the 50.
One of the best defenses in the country. You kick off.
Okay, you guys can lash out that all you want.
That's all the minutiae.
Points.
That's all the minutiae.
Right.
That's the bottom line. You have a guy, okay? Here's a guy that at Georgia, David Green, Aaron Murray, Matthew Stafford, all the quarterbacks that he had there that played great football that he was able to recruit. In 3 years at Miami, he has not been able to do that. He has not been able to recruit the guy that looks the part, plays the part, and is the part. He's not been able to do it.
Has he not been able to, or is does he just want one in a microwave?
This guy that they had coming in from Rutgers.
Oh, God.
I mean, thank God he went to Rutgers.
I don't care about that guy. He's not here. Rutgers rule guy? I don't give a rat's ass about that. What I find infuriating about Mark Richt is that his whole season last year, his best run as a Canes coach came with a quarterback he didn't even want in Malik Rozier. As soon as he could, he dusted him and gave it to the only guy who he thought was least worst, And as soon as that guy has a little bit of a flaw or has a hiccup,
but let's
take him out.
Let's not forget. Okay, Nkosi Perry could not beat Malik Rozier last year. Could not beat
Malik Rozier.
Could not beat Malik Rozier in the spring. Could not beat Malik Rozier in fall practice this year. Why Malik started the season?
Yeah, but could he not beat him on talent, or could he not beat him because Mark Richt's too scared?
No, he was suspended. No, for the first game.
Just because you have talent doesn't mean you
could
play.
Could not beat him.
Guys, you can't tell.
Could not beat him in the competition. On the field at practice. Could not beat him.
He does throw the ball into coverage a lot. He got away with it against FIU and Savannah State.
You guys do this all the time with the coaches. And you always give coaches the benefit of the doubt.
No.
When coaches make decisions all the time that are made out of what is going to make the least amount of mistakes rather than what's going to have the biggest reward. They do it all the time.
Okay. That's fine. But let me ask you, if your job depends on it, which one are you going to go with?
What is my job? Does my job entail? Are you supposed to be slightly better than Al Golden and just win the Coastal year after year?
No.
Or are we playing for keeps? Is this the University of Miami?
Well, okay. If you're If you're playing for keeps,
mm-hmm.
right? And you put a guy in there not prepared, but he's got a cannon and his upside's really good and he throws 1,000 picks, then what?
Got to have him learn it out. Got to.
No,
got
kid.
To. This is all part of
Wait
the process.
And then you're going to be on the fire him because he's got the wrong guy in there.
No.
You are. I don't. No. Here's the only problem I ever have with you. Okay? And this is serious.
Okay.
Here's what you do. You want to play the young guy, put this guy out there, put the hell with the consequences or whatever. And then when your team goes 0-5, you're like, fire the coach.
But Leroy, in favor of who?
Leroy.
Oh, my God. I'm sweating.
You were loading that gun, and you were... and Robbie was shaking.
No, but in favor of whom? A guy in Malik Rozier who's no good.
Can we talk about this?
Who's no good?
Okay.
If you're going to do it in favor of a safe guy who can actually game manage for you, fine.
If he's
That's not
no,
there.
Wait, if you feel Malik Rozier is no good, okay, then why can't Nkosi Perry beat him out?
Because the coach has a complex.
No, because Nkosi Perry.
Listen to me out. Hear me out.
It's not because of the coach.
Hear me out.
Everyone's talking. Wait.
Listen to my theory.
I'll get to you in a second.
No.
This is a total aside.
Turn off his microphone.
20 seconds.
Turn off his microphone.
No, this has nothing to do with the way you're
talking. Turn off his microphone. Okay, thank you.
I'm addressing one text.
Turn it off. No, I don't care about the text. I don't care about the text. He's a texter. I don't care about your opinions.
People are asking about Jaren Williams. They're going to redshirt him.
Really?
Yes.
That's what you had to interrupt with. Jaren Williams.
Yes.
Jaren Williams. He's not playing.
Because he's coming in.
I don't care about what's coming in. They're texters.
You should.
They're listeners. They're listeners. They shall listen. They listen to their pope.
They give us our
high
ratings.
They don't listen to texters.
They give us our high ratings.
You're off your rocker today.
Sheep don't listen to other sheep. They listen to their shepherd. Okay? So hear me out on this.
The hell did that come from?
That's right.
Now all of a sudden
Robbie,
I feel like we're bringing tablets down from the mountain.
Hear me out.
Send me
hear
this
me out
segment
this.
Immediately. It needs to go in the filler on the
hear
screen.
Me out. Hear me out. Mark Richt has a complex built from his past as a consistent backup quarterback. He has a problem giving people the job because he feels wronged from his playing career of guys who had the job and he never got a sniff. So he never gives the opportunity for anybody to just have the job and work it out because he never got to have the job and just work it out. He constantly makes people earn it week after week, drive after drive, play after play. And that's no way to have a quarterback in your system.
Can I just... point this
he
out.
He was on the same team with Jim Kelly, Bernie Kosar, Bernie Castagnoli.
He has an axe to grind with Schellenberger. It's clear as day.
That is not unique.
So he's lashing
to
out.
Coaching.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unique to coaching.
It is for him.
No, it's man.
It is.
It's not unique to coaching. Look, coaches feel this way, and this is I've been told this. You can hear it in their voice when you ask them questions. When they go through a week of preparation, they want to feel that you have done everything you can to prepare for that week's game. And the guys that do that earn the right to play that week. If you don't, and the coach can't depend on you, and your teammates can't depend on you because they don't have any idea what you're going to do on game day.
Let me ask you something.
Then you don't play.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
who do you think are the best playmakers on offense for this team? Jeff Thomas and Brevin Jordan, right?
Correct.
Sure.
Who do you think they'd rather have as their quarterback? Take all the preparation, take all that nonsense aside. Your two best playmakers, who have to have somebody throwing them the ball.
They want Perry.
Who do you think they want?
They want Perry because when he's on, he can get them the ball.
Okay. So what are we talking about here?
Okay.
But what if he can't get them the ball? Do you still keep going with him?
Malik can't get them the ball.
No, but...
But at least Malik can run.
They were down 2 scores. Dink! Dunk! Dink! Dunk! What are we doing?
That goes to the play call.
What are we doing? And then, hey, genius, sneaky swagger boy. Who's talking to that bleep to Bronco Mendenhall? Onside kick? Really?
You were kicking off in the 50. I agree with that.
Onside kick?
You don't know that you're going to get the ball back.
Robbie, the only good part of your team, you're not going to let them go control the ball?
They're just terrible at the onside kick. They did it against Georgia Tech. They did that same thing, and Georgia Tech ran it back for a touchdown last year.
Richter, you listen to Solo D?
Different kicker.
You listen to Solo D? Turnover chain. It's your damn anthem. You're not going to give the defense another chance to go get the ball?
Where would this team be without the damn turnover chain?
And ideally, even if you miss the onside kick, they still got the ball in the 40. They're still far away from the end zone.
Robbie, you're wrong.
You're just not expecting a run back.
Can we talk about the play calling for 1 second? Because I have no concept. Okay, just listen to me. Can I just get
go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
I don't understand the makeup of this offensive coaching staff. You got the kid, Mark's kid, coaching the quarterbacks. That hasn't looked good. You got another guy that supposedly is the offensive coordinator. I don't know what he's doing.
Wait.
And then you
got
Mark Richt.
Are we to the point now
and then we get
that
Mark Richt calling the
players can't perform, so we're blaming the coaches?
And then we got Mark Richt.
What if they're not that good?
Now we have Mark Richt calling the plays.
No, really?
And he says, these plays have been working for 30 years. Coach, if you've been calling the same play for 30 years, maybe it's time to change it up a little bit. Hashtag just saying.
Are we to the point now?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Really? Like, the coaches don't get any of the blame there?
No, I'm not saying.
Offensive line looks great.
I'm not saying
looks
that.
Looks great, Stacey Searles.
They don't get any of the blame. I'm not saying that. Okay? Because in the end, it's their job, with their responsibility to put the players in the best position to succeed. But holy smokes, are we saying that that game would have been any different? With different plays called?
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Talent-wise, you think Virginia has more talent?
No.
Well, yeah, let me ask
you. Their quarterback's worse than both of the quarterbacks that Cade's brought out there.
Let me ask you this. Because ever since I've been down here, every time the University of Miami plays, everybody just makes the assumption that Miami has a better talent.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. Okay? And just because these guys come into college and come to the University of Miami doesn't necessarily mean they have superior talent.
Gotcha. I'm not comparing them to Alabama or Texas or anything.
Just
right
Virginia.
Now. I'm asking Virginia.
Okay.
I'm asking Virginia. Like, if you best guess, in 3 years, who's going to have more players drafted?
Oh, Miami.
Okay.
Miami, but that doesn't mean anything because they always have a lot of players go to the NFL have success here.
Why is that?
Yeah, that's kind of my question.
That's the point. He just boxed you in.
Because here, no.
He just
no,
did. No. He just kind of just boxed
I
kinda, you in.
I wasn't going to brag about it, but I kind of did.
No,
he just kind of boxed you
here's
in.
Here's what happens at a lot at Miami, and I'm like shocked, is that I've never seen a university that has players come in. Then they go to the next level and end up playing different positions than they were ever tried to play here. And so they're athletic, they have talent, but a lot of times they're not doing the things that make them the most successful. And that's been a problem at Miami, not just now, but for years.
We're going to give you guys a chance to win a 4-pack to see the Heat take on the Blazers later on this month, but we also will give you another chance to win $1,000 coming up in about 9 minutes. We're back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.